Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host, and as promised, Father Sebastian Walsh, Norbertine priest from St. Michael's Abbey up the road from us, is our guest this hour. The number is 888-318-7884. Father Walsh is the author of Secrets from Heaven, Hidden Treasures of Faith in the Parables and Conversations of Jesus. But in addition to being a priest and teacher and author and all that, he's also a philosopher, and I'm sure we will test his capacities in that regard today because we're talking about divine providence. Father Sebastian Walsh, thanks for being with us.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me again, Cy.
Well, we always feel like it's kind of a boon to us when we do. So, yeah, anytime. But let me ask you this. You know who I always think of for some reason, because he used the words divine providence all the time in his writing? George Washington. So I guess there was a time when the words divine providence, that was just like in common parlance. We say it less now, but we still refer to the providence of God. So what is it? What is divine providence?
Yeah, it's a good point that, and especially in the founding documents of our country, they made a lot of references to God and to His providence.
But, right.
So, in the classic definition, providence is the plan in the mind of God, which He has for ordering creatures to their good or their final end. That's basically the idea of providence. So, it's a plan, and that implies it's a kind of knowledge which it's supposed to be executed somehow or carried out. So as opposed to, some knowledge, you just sit there and you think about it, and that's all you do. But when you have a plan, the intention is that you're going to carry the plan out, and you're going to do something to make it happen. So this is a plan in the mind of God, and it's a plan that precisely is looking at creatures and saying, how do I order each individual creature to its ultimate end, to its final good? That's the idea of providence.
And that applies to us, each individual person.
Each individual person, yeah. So, you could say that Jesus, when in the Sermon on the Mount, he says that your Father even knows when every bird from heaven falls from the earth. He knows the number of hairs on your head, right? And all the flowers of the field, all those creatures, God has a plan for every one of those creatures, and all creatures fall under the scope of God's providence.
Again, 888-318-7884, the number 888-318-7884. Does the idea of providence then apply in the way that you were talking about our founding fathers here in the U.S., that there's a way in which God, in working out the plan for each individual creature, each individual person, also cares about the movements of history, kind of in writ large?
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, an interesting place where that becomes really obvious is in salvation history as recorded in the scriptures. You know, if you look, for example, at the different historical events which the scriptures record, what you notice is that many, if not all of them, also reflect something about the universal truths of the faith. So I like to give the example of the exodus of the people Israel from Egypt. So there you have the people of Israel. They've been enslaved in Egypt. They've been there in Egypt for over 400 years. And then there's a Pharaoh that doesn't know Joseph. He gives them hard work and reduces them to the whole cruel fate of slaves. And then God comes and works to free them. He sends Moses, and Moses performs 10 plagues. And those 10 plagues finally culminate in the last plague, And Pharaoh releases the people from Egypt, and they go off. They find themselves at the boundary of the Red Sea. They seem to be hemmed in, and then God opens the Red Sea. They cross it. Pharaoh's troops follow him, follow the Israelites and Moses, and they're drowned in the sea. And then the Israelites continue on their journey. They go across the desert. They get to the Promised Land. But they're not ready, they're not brave enough to confront those who occupy the Promised Land. So for 40 years, they go and they wander in the desert until they've gained the sufficient strength, they've been purified, all the ones that were fearful have all passed away, and now there's a new generation, and they enter into the Promised Land and they take possession of it. So that's a series of historical events that took place over the course of, say, 60 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, God has arranged that all of those historical events, because He's the Lord of history, also signify spiritual realities. So Pharaoh signifies Satan, and their captivity in Egypt signifies captivity to sin.
Oh, yeah.
Then being freed by the 10 plagues is like the 10 commandments, by following the 10 commandments. Those are like plagues against the demons. And then we get to the Red Sea, which symbolizes baptism, as St. Paul tells us. And we cross through baptism, which is a kind of definitive conquering of the evil one. And then we pass through this life. But if we are not sufficiently purified, then we have to go back for the 40 years. Now, the number 40 in Scripture always signifies a time of purification or cleansing. And so those 40 years signify the time in purgatory for an individual soul before they enter into the Promised Land, which represents heaven. So all of those historical events were under the dominion of God, and he arranged the historical events in his providence to signify the journey of an individual soul from its captivity to Satan to its eternal possession of heaven. It's really beautiful. That's a great example that shows just how universal God's providential care is.
888-318-7884. If you've got a question for Father Sebastian Walsh about God's providence, you are welcome to call 888-318-7884. At the risk of sharing the shallowness of my spiritual life, I believe in God's providence deeply and profoundly when things are going well. And then I don't believe it anymore when things are not going well.
Yeah.
What's wrong with me?
Well, there's a diagnosis for what ails you. It's called original sin, Si. And
yeah, right.
I often try to console. Now, it's easier said than done. Look, suffering is a serious thing. And unless you're going through it, there's no way to really understand deep suffering unless you're going through it yourself. That being said, if we really go back to the truths of our faith, and we believe that God is a loving Father who loves us more than any human father could love us. Now, we know that a human father would never willingly allow their child to undergo needless suffering, suffering that had no benefit for them. And I reflect back upon a time when my niece, she had to have surgery on her hand when she was only a year and a half old or something like that. And my brother was away on a business trip or something like that, and so I went to support my sister-in-law as she went to have the cast taken off. The surgery was already done, but they had to take the cast off now. And I don't know if you know this, but they have these saws that actually saw through the fiberglass. So there was my poor little year-and-a-half-old niece, and the doctor comes and he brings this saw, and she just thought he was going to cut her arm off. And she was screaming like a banshee and screaming, and my poor sister-in-law was just holding her down, while he got through it. And finally took off the cast, and then my niece was just saying over and over again, "All done, all done, all done." And I saw that, and I said, that's probably how it looks from God's perspective when we're going through suffering. That God knows, you have to go through this in order to be liberated, in order to be able to fully live the life that I intended you to live. You have to go through this suffering. And from his perspective, he sees it's not really going to hurt you. But from our perspective, we think it's the end of the world. And so I always say it's actually during the times of greatest suffering and darkness that you should have the most gratitude, because you know that the only reason God would allow that suffering is to bring about some good for you that he could not bring about otherwise, greater than the goods that are comfortable for us, and easy for us to accept.
I'm going to work on that, Father.
Yeah, we all have to. I'm in the same boat here, Si. I'm in the same boat.
I get the feeling you're not in the same part of the boat I'm in, though. 888-318-7884, our number. Father Sebastian Walsh, our guest. We're talking about God's providence. Bunch of people on the phone. There's at least two lines open, however, if you'd like to call 888-318-7884 with your question. Before I go ahead off to the break, and then we'll come back and take your calls for Father Walsh, I want to let you know today is the last day for the digital sale here at Catholic.com. So, at shop.catholic.com. So all the eBooks, MP3s, e-magazines, everything that's been on on sale, hundreds of great resources to choose from. Anything that you can download, basically, from our servers to your computer, it's on sale 50% off. That all ends today at midnight. You just go to shop.catholic.com. And when I say midnight, I mean midnight Hawaii time. We always go by Hawaii time. Shop.catholic.com until midnight Hawaii time. You get 50% off everything digital. Hi, this is Cy. Have you heard about that priest who found out he wasn't baptized? The story raises all kinds of questions about the sacraments and why the Catholic Church is so strict about how each sacrament is celebrated. So we asked Father Hugh whether the Catholic Church is too legalistic about this stuff. You'll love this episode of Catholic Answers Focus, and it's not the only one we've got for you this week. We've also got Carlo Broussard discussing whether or not your future sins are already forgiven. Catholic Answers Focus. Get it wherever you get your podcasts or listen anytime at CatholicAnswersFocus.com.
The Aquinas Writing Advantage Program is part of Homeschool Connections' set of online courses for your Catholic homeschool. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
The reason we pray is so that we can get to know and experience the love of God. The teaching of the Catechism is clear. The reason you were created is to know God. So the only way to get to know God is to spend time with Him. You can't fall in love with anybody unless you spend time with them. And when you go and you spend time with God, what you're going to get to know is that you're loved by God. And that's the deepest need in your heart. So make commitment every day to spend time with God so you can come to know His love.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live with Father Sebastian Walsh, our guest this hour, Father, the author of Secrets from Heaven, Hidden Treasures of Faith in the Parables and Conversations of Jesus, available now. Where you can just head over to your Catholic bookstore. If they don't have it, ask them to order it, but we do want you to support your local Catholic bookstore. Father Walsh, discussing divine providence with us today, the providence of God, and your questions are welcome. 888-318-7884. Father, before I go to the callers, I guess I want to kind of nail down something here about providence. Like, is it like all the little things, are they covered in divine? Like, is it just the big general stuff, you know, the big parts of my life?
Yeah.
Every now and then God kind of checks in, makes sure I'm on the right, or is it all the...
That's a great question.
Yeah.
Yeah, and over the history of philosophy and even theology, there have been differing opinions about that with regard to, like, how far does God's providence extend? And some philosophers erroneously thought that God only took care of the big things and all the little things somehow escaped His care. And that's heretical, in fact. That's contrary to the faith. I quoted the passage earlier from the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus says, every hair on your head is numbered. Right, and even one bird does not fall to the ground without your Heavenly Father knowing about it. You see, and even the flowers of the field, the grass of the field, are cared for by God. So if that's true, even the littlest things are cared for. Now, on the one hand, that might raise some problems with regard to the question of evil. Well, God, why does God permit evil? But on the other hand, it's super reassuring.
Yeah.
Because I tell you this. If God isn't really in control, if He hasn't really in His providence embraced everything that's happened to us, every little detail of our life, we might think that, like, this thing we're going through is something God has no control over, and that means maybe it's not really for our salvation. Maybe it's not from the hand of a loving God.
Right.
And that's not the truth. Every single thing we go through, good or bad, is from the hand of a loving, provident Father who cares for us, and who really knows what's going on and is in control. But God's providence is completely certain. There's no way that His providence can fail. And therefore, no matter what we're going through, we can be sure that God is permitting it in His love, and He's ordering it to some great good. And that gives us much comfort at times when we feel like it seems like things are just spinning out of control.
Let's go to William in Lafayette, Louisiana, listening to EWTN on 90.5 FM. William, your question for Father Sebastian Walsh.
Well, thank you for taking my call. And Real quick, could you tell me before this ends how to, I'd love to record both hours. Both hours are extremely important in my life, and I've listened to EWTN extremely often in many years, just very sporadically. But my quick question is, can Father Walsh please connect the dots back to the previous hour when it was, we're eating, and I'm not saying this correctly, we're not eating a dead body, we're eating a living body. And I think that was part of the divine providence, because I'd like to be able to explain to my teenage son, who's being very anti-Catholic or anti-religious, anti-everything.
Okay.
And, you know, if you could please connect that dot, because it was the most incredibly well-explained answer in the previous hour, and I need to remember that extremely well. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, let me say something. Of course, I wasn't the speaker in the previous hour, but let me say something about the Eucharist. It's interesting because the word that Jesus uses, sarx, he has to eat my flesh, that word actually means the flesh that's on a living being, right? And so Jesus is talking about eating his flesh while it's on his living body. And that's what we as Catholics believe. We believe that it is Christ, the same Christ who is in heaven, that very body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus, who is right now living in heaven. So he's not just alive. He is alive in his resurrected, glorified body. And that is the glorified Christ that we receive whenever we consume the Eucharist, okay? So Jesus said in John chapter 6 that just as the living Father has life and I have life from the Father, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has life because of me. And that is, we're actually inheriting or participating in the very life of Jesus, which is a supernatural life, which is a life infinitely above a merely human life. And that living flesh is for us the source of every good thing. So that's really important to understand, that God in his providence has arranged that when we receive the Eucharist, we receive the Eucharist, we receive the living and even supernaturally living and glorified flesh and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it is life-giving, unlike ordinary food, in which we transform that food into our substance. This extraordinary food of the Eucharist actually transforms us spiritually into members of the body of Christ, the living body of Christ. So it is really important to see that. It's not just some dead piece of flesh, but actually it's Christ himself. And we do no harm to his living body by eating him. It's rather us who are improved by it.
William, your thoughts on that?
I appreciate it. No, I can't tell you how extremely important, how it's the source and summit. I'm just not an eloquent person. I grew up, middle of five boys and just fighting all the time. And it was great fighting, not bad fighting. But and I have one son.
Well, you must have won all the time then, because I was always fighting with my brothers, and it wasn't always good.
Listen, it's not an always. But you talked about suffering, and I'm not the greatest sufferer in the world. I know there's people that are so much more in pain than I am, but I was recently spared of a hurricane, and our friends, and I have many friends to the west in Lake Charles that weren't, and I've also been in the military, seen some devastation, and it's terrible, but you're right, you cannot experience it until you actually feel it in there and everything else, and so my greatest purpose in life, other than to raise a good son, is to be able to be with them in heaven one day. And all my relatives and friends and everybody else. So I'm trying to get it through to my son, and I'm not the most patient guy. So it's almost a terrible. I got to try to do it through my wife. And the way you've explained it is the most eloquent way I can remember ever hearing it. And I just got to try to record both hours, because it's incredible what y'all are saying right now.
Well, William, how about let me tell you, important. you can get the recordings, and Marie can explain more off. First of all, I'd like you to hang on and talk to Marie, and she'll send you a copy of Why We're Catholic. Just that's Trent's book. You can leave it lying around. Maybe your son will pick it up. Why We're Catholic. But also these on YouTube and Facebook, these are immediately available to listen to anytime. And we also have them available on our website, catholic.com. And that's usually Well, within 10 or 12 hours. Nick usually does it within about 10 minutes after the show's over, but so I don't want to promise that because we never know. But if you particularly needed an MP3, just like send me the recording of that show, you can always reach us at radio@catholic.com. Send a note to radio@catholic.com with the date of the show you want. We'll send you an MP3. But hang on, William, your words are very, very encouraging and beautiful. And it sounds like your son got lucky and got a great father, or divine providence gave him a great father. So hold on and we'll send you to Marie. That's extraordinary, a father like that. That's beautiful, isn't it, Father?
Yeah, it's beautiful to hear a father say, like, well, you know, what I want is I want to be together with my son in heaven.
Amen. Amen.
You know, a son whose father thinks that and lives that way, regardless of his own weaknesses and difficulties, you know, the Lord's really going to assist and honor that.
We're talking about God's providence today with Father Sebastian Walsh. Your questions about providence are welcome. 888-318-7884, 888-31-TRUTH. We'll go now to Joshua in Omaha, Nebraska, listening on Spirit Catholic Radio. Joshua, your question for Father.
Hello.
Hi, Joshua.
So my question is, if a man discerns that he is called to priesthood, but he ignores that discernment because of a desire to have his own family, is he doing so on the pain of mortal sin?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. St. Thomas Aquinas, following the different fathers of the church, he very clearly makes a distinction between a commandment and a counsel. When Jesus speaks about, for example, poverty and chastity and obedience, and also the call to consecrated life, those are what are called evangelical or gospel counsels. And those counsels are not binding under the pain of mortal sin. It's really a choice between two goods, a greater good and a lesser good. And if you're actually called and you've been given the grace of a vocation to the priesthood, and even if you knew that for a fact, you're still not sinning by choosing to have a family. What God demands of us is that we do something good. He doesn't demand of us that we always do the best good or the most perfect possible thing. And I'm often telling people who come to me for spiritual direction, don't make the perfect the enemy of the good. That being said, the truth is, if you've really been given that grace, you will find more happiness both in this life and the next, and peace of soul, besides, if you do follow God's grace and you do follow that call. But nonetheless, you're not sinning. And part of the reason for that is that God does not want people coming into consecrated life because of fear and because they feel forced. He wants it to be such a free decision that in making or even rejecting that decision, no sin is, there's no question of a sin happening. It's just a question between two goods, one of which is greater than the other, and God is pleased with you, whatever decision you make, and he wants you to completely freely discern the priesthood and religious life. He does not want anyone to feel under compulsion in making that discernment, okay? So because it's a counsel, it is not obliging under pain of mortal sin to follow that that grace, or even if you're certain about it, even if God made a revelation to you and said, I'm calling you to the priesthood, it still wouldn't be under pain of mortal sin, okay?
Thank you. That's great.
All right, Josh. Thank you very, very much. Although, Father, I got to say, I have a problem with this, and I would like you to help me out with it, if you could explain to me. That makes it sound like God has a plan. But you can have your own plan that doesn't, as long as your plan is good, he'll go with your plan if you want, if that's what you choose to do. So providence isn't like fixed. It's not like this is, do you see what I'm saying?
That's a great question. So the kind of the larger question comes in, it says, how does our free will fit in with divine providence, right? How does our free will fit in with that? How can providence be certain in a case like that? Well, the truth of the matter is that God has already foreseen, right, and taken account of our free will, And when we talk about God's, you know, his original plan, if you want to call it that, you know, obviously God, for example, did not intend or did not want man to sin. And nevertheless, God knew full well that man would sin, and therefore, as a consequence, he already had another plan, which we call Plan B, but from his perspective, he knew it was the only plan, and that was to send a Redeemer for our salvation. And we talk about that, we sing about that at the Easter Vigil, oh, happy fault which is merited for us, so great a Redeemer. Huh?
Yes.
So theologians distinguish between what they call God's antecedent will and God's consequent will. Now, that's fancy terminology, but let me explain it in a little bit more detail.
Okay, Father, we're going to have to do
maybe
it on
I
the...
I should wait till after the break.
Yeah, yeah, because you're going to... Unless you can do it in 11 seconds, Father Sebastian.
Yeah, I don't think so. Let's wait till after the break, and we'll talk about God's antecedent and consequent will.
Right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Stay with us for more Catholic Answers Live.
Why is it wrong to help someone commit suicide? Don't people have a right to die with dignity rather than being a burden to others? Does the Church teach that the terminally ill must be kept alive by machines for as long as possible? In 20 Answers End-of-Life Issues, you'll find smart, solid answers to these questions and many more, helping you unravel the controversies and confusions surrounding euthanasia, assisted suicide, and the rights of patients in our uncertain healthcare future. 20 Answers End-of-Life Issues is part of the 20 Answers series from Catholic Answers, offering hard facts, powerful arguments, and clear explanations of the most important topics facing the Church and the world, all in a compact, easy-to-read package. Visit shop.catholic.com and take a look at this exciting new series from Catholic Answers Press.
To many people, even many Christians, purgatory is a fantasy, or worse, a wicked lie invented by the Church to make salvation complicated and keep people in fear. But I'm here to tell you that purgatory is fact, not fiction. The Bible supports it, Christians have historically believed in it, and it makes theological sense. In my new book, Purgatory is for Real, I provide the evidence and reasoning to help you understand this controversial doctrine and demonstrate how it's actually a joyful, hopeful reality, not something shadowy and mysterious, but a sign of God's love and mercy. To get your copy of Purgatory is for Real, visit shop.catholic.com today or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Did you know you can access Catholic Answers Live right from your phone or other mobile device? Download the Catholic Answers Live app today. The Catholic Answers Live app, available now on iOS and Android.
This is Dr. David Anders. Does the problem of evil keep you from believing in God?
Join us for Call to Communion tomorrow at 2 p.m. Eastern.
Now, back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. Our guest is Father Sebastian Walsh, and we're talking about God's providence. And so among the things that comes up when you talk about God's providence, which Father described to us in the beginning as having, as God having a plan for every single one of his creatures, even the animals, even the little crawly ones, and even us persons, and even the angels, each one, God has a plan for their flourishing, and that's providence. But if that's the case, and Father also just spoke with Joshua and said and assured him that turning down a vocation to the priesthood is not a matter of sin, because it's a matter of God calling you, giving you an option, but not giving you a command. Okay, so that brings up the question then, how does this providence thing work? Is it a set in stone plan, or is it flexible? And so Father was just about to tell us about two different ways of thinking about God's will.
Yes, absolutely. So a lot of people think that what happens is that God is sort of watching us, and then we make some decisions, and he reacts to our decisions, and it's kind of like a video game or something where there's a back and forth or a chess match or something, and God's trying to somehow arrange things that way. And that's not true. God actually, because of his omnipotence and his universal knowledge, he actually knows in advance, right, everything that's going to happen, and he's a source of all being and goodness, right? And so providence for God is not a matter of reacting to us, but it's something he has from all eternity taken into account. So theologians distinguish what we call God's antecedent and his consequent will. And those are fancy terms, but let me explain them in ordinary language. So the idea of God's antecedent will is basically this. All things being equal, without looking at the concrete conditions of, you know, of the good that he's trying to achieve, the goods he's trying to achieve for us, what would God want, right? So, for example, God wants everyone to live without sin, and he wants everyone to do as much and as well as they can. So perhaps the only individual human being who ever did God's will perfectly in that regard would have been the Blessed Virgin Mary. I mean, of course, our Lord, but he was a divine person. But the Blessed Virgin Mary is the only one who literally did everything according to God's antecedent will, exactly the, you know, how he would have done it, all things being equal, you know, how would God have liked all of our lives to go? But given the concrete circumstances of the common good, God knows that there's some greater good that he wants to bring about, which takes into account our failings, our departures from what he would like. And that's called his consequent will, and that's the will that actually, in fact, gets fulfilled. And that includes things like our sins. It includes things like us choosing lesser vocations. It includes things like our imperfections and so forth. And God, he permits evils and lesser goods in order that he might ultimately bring about an even greater good. There's, for God, his plan B is always better than his plan A. And so, for example, in the world that exists now, God's mercy is magnified in a way that it wouldn't have been in a world if no one had sinned. And forgiveness is found in our world in a beautiful way that would not have happened if there was a world without sin. Huh? And wow. So there's so many beautiful goods that God has foreordained through his providence that now make the world even better from God's perspective and for the universal, you know, the universal common good of all creation, than if everything had just been done, you know, perfectly from the get-go. God always brings a greater good out of evil.
Wow. 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 That's a lot. So the antecedent and consequent are the name of the two. And so consequent means what he wills, consequent to our making our own decisions.
That's right. And okay. We sometimes talk about God will permit things to happen. That's always according to his consequent will. God positively wills certain things, for example, that no one sin. That's his antecedent will. But then sometimes God permits things to happen. That's according to his consequent will. In order that he might still draw an even greater good from it.
Again, our number, 888-318-7884. We're talking about God's providence with our good friend, Father Sebastian Walsh, the author of Secrets from Heaven, Hidden Treasures of Faith in the Parables and Conversations of Jesus. Up next is Kate in St. Paul, Minnesota. She's listening to EWTN on Channel 130, Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Hello, Kate. You got a question for Father?
Yes, hi. Thank you for taking my call. I really just was curious how God's providence affects little children or unborn babies if something happens, say, within, like the mother has a baby that dies, unfortunately, in the womb. Where does that leave the baby with God's providence?
Yes. Well, the first thing to see is that even that is something that falls under God's providence. So no one escapes, no creature, much less any human creature, escapes God's providence. And the scriptures teach us that God has a special care for human beings. So as Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, you're worth more than many sparrows. So every child, even the unborn children, in God's perspective, is worth more than any other part of creation. Right, the human persons and of course the angels are the greatest part of creation. Therefore, God has a very special providence for them, including unborn children who die. Now, the church has not been given any revelation about how God would go about bringing salvation to those who die before baptism, infants who are innocent of any sin, but who still have original sin. And the reason, part of the reason for that is because that it's not up to us, right? The church's revelation has to do with what do we do in order to bring salvation to others. But there are some persons who, for whatever reason, escape human providence, right? So that the little unborn baby who died without being baptized, for example, escapes the providence of his human father, but he does not escape the providence of his divine father, God. And God may well, in his providence, bring grace to that child in an extra sacramental way, that is, without the normal use of the sacrament of baptism. He can do that, and it's likely that he does do that in many cases. But we don't know the answer to that question, and our job in a case like that is simply to trust that our Father in heaven loves that child more than its earthly father and mother, and therefore we should have no fear or concern that somehow God will not attend in his providence to bring about some very great good, even when he permits the death of that child before baptism. So what God really wants from us is trust and confidence, especially if someone has lost their own child to a miscarriage or who died, you know, before being able to be baptized. God wants trust on our part, and to know that he loves that child more than we do. So that's what we know from Revelation. And as for the rest, we'll just have to wait for, you know, I'm sure there'll be many pleasant surprises for us in the next life where we say, wow, I didn't even know that God had that plan in mind, even though I couldn't see a way of bringing any good out of it.
What do you think, Kate?
Yeah, that's great. Thank you very much, Father.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Thanks, Kate. Let's go to Heidi in Illinois, listening on WSFI. You are next, Heidi. Your question for Father.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I don't want to sound argumentative, but I heard what you said, Father, about if God's consequent will always ends up with a greater good than his original plan. But I'm coming from a point because I have a son who struggles significantly with the problem of evil to the point he doesn't go to church anymore. So where he ends up actually firmly hung up is if somebody actually chooses against God and goes to hell, that can't be a good. And so how do you roll that into what the antecedent and consequent will idea?
Yeah.
Okay, that's an excellent question. So the greater good that God always brings out of evil is not always a greater good for each individual person. So Jesus, for example, speaks about Judas Iscariot, and he says, better for him had he never been born. He doesn't say better overall or better for the common good, but rather better for him. So the real question is this. If we decide to reject God altogether, and we do not love the will of God, we decide that we don't want to be part of God's will, then we exclude ourselves from the good which he is bringing about, and even the good he brings about even through permitting sin, okay? So while it may not be a good for this or that individual, there is a greater good for the whole of creation, a common good. So let me give a simple example. I'll give a simple example for that. Let us say that you had a father of a family, and that father had a child who, for whatever reason, was hurting all the other members of the family. And so that father decided, well, I'm going to have to exclude, I'm going to tell that child, unless you stop hurting the other people in the family, you're going to have to live outside the house. And so he ends up having to exclude that child from living in the house. Now, that brings about a greater good for the other children in the house because they're no longer being hurt by that one child, right? It also, even the fact that he permitted maybe he could have known by prophecy, for example, that that child was going to come and cause a lot of harm to the rest of the family. Even that could have been allowed for a greater good for the whole family. For example, they learned patience and mercy and an attempt to reconcile and forgiveness. And all the other members of the family may have grown much in virtue, even though the child who was harming the others was not growing in virtue. And so overall, still, the family was better off, even if that one individual has, through their own choice, decided to exclude themselves from that common good. So what I'm not saying is that God permits an evil, and in the case of every evil, every single creature benefits. We don't think, for example, that God created a world in which no matter what evil you do, that your reward is always going to be the bliss of heaven. If that were the world we lived in, then we would be in a manifestly unjust world where people like Stalin and Hitler can come to the end of their lives completely unrepentant and still be rewarded with ultimate, you know, perfect happiness. So when I say that God permits evil to bring about a greater good, I mean the greater common good for the whole universe, for the whole of creation, not necessarily the greater good for this or that individual person. But that's still their own free choice and their own fault, and it's better that they have the free choice and that they don't. So does that, I don't know if that helps answer your question or not.
No, it very much does. And then his next move is where he says that it would be better if that person weren't created. But then again, you're saying my son is seeing that as a personal thing rather than better for all of creation.
Yeah. Well, is it better that he had never been created?
Well, that's my point, is that in fact, for the whole rest of creation, it's actually not better. It's only for that person. It was not better for that person if he had never been created in a case like that, or at least allowed to sin. But even then, I always say, look, at least he had a choice, at least a chance. You know, I say to myself, you know, you could equally criticize God and say, well, you never even created that person, never gave him a chance to even freely choose for or against him. And God, he really loves us, and he wants to give all of us a chance, and he doesn't desire that anyone goes to hell, right? And one thing we'll see in the next life is how much suffering and how much effort he put forward to prevent anyone from going to hell. And he did everything that was really possible. I would say he not only did everything humanly possible, he did everything divinely possible to prevent even a single soul from going to hell. And yet, some people still choose. And even that is to manifest that it's not just a game. We freely are responsible for our choices in such a way that we are in some way determining our own destiny. And it's important that that's how it is. It's important we not be robots or automatons that simply, you know, are just moved around like chess pieces on a board. It's important for us to realize we have freedom, and that freedom necessarily means that we don't have to love God. But it's better that we get the chance than never to have the chance.
Heidi, if you'll hang on, Marie will send you a copy of Trent's book, Why We're Catholic. That might be helpful. And if we could, can we also send her Secrets from Heaven, Father Sebastian Walsh's book on the parables and sayings of Jesus? Because sometimes just meditating on the person of Jesus gets us where no amount of argument can get us. So we'll send you those if you'll hang on. Go ahead, Father. You want to say something?
I want to add something else, and that is that there's a really good book by a fellow named Dr. Michael Agros called Who Designed the Designer? That book has an excellent section on the problems of evil.
Okay.
And that might be another book you could find have that section, read that section, or have your son read that section, because it's a difficult problem, I understand. But keep praying for your son. A mother's love has a lot to do with helping a son see the goodness of God.
Oh, you're just saying that because we just celebrated St. Monica's feast day. Dr. Michael Agros is over at the Augustine Institute. You can look there. I'm sure that they'll have his book available for you. Heidi, we got to take a quick break, however, so we will be right back with more on Providence. And if you have questions about Providence for Father Sebastian Walsh, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884.
Catholic Answers Live. We're here for you.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
St. John Paul II stated that, for the disciple of Christ, evangelization is a duty, an obligation of love. And the Catechism of the Catholic Church states that evangelization is necessary for salvation.
So we know we're called, but how do we do it?
St. Paul Street Evangelization can help. To learn more, contact us at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
The blood of Jesus shed on the cross healed all our wounds. A lot of people say, well, I can do what I want. I can commit any sin. Jesus saved me. You can't be presumptuous. All holy God cannot allow you to sin or give you the right to sin by dying for you. That doesn't make any sense.
For more information on Mother Angelica, visit Religious Catalog at EWTNRC.com.
Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live. These Norbertine priests, a wonderful group of men in Orange County at St. Michael's Abbey. You should look up St. Michael's Abbey online and see this new church they're building. But if they had nothing else to do except sing the office and help out Catholic Answers Live, we would keep them busy. Help out Catholic Answers in general. Father Allen here, we were just talking about it at the break, celebrating Mass for us. Father Jerome often celebrates Mass for us. You know all the stuff that Father Hugh Barber does for us. And Father Sebastian Walsh, writing books, taking your questions on God's providence. I'm not sure how this happened, but somehow the entire Abbey became employees of Catholic Answers. Not paid, by the way.
It's a symbiotic relationship, you know.
I guess
kind of like the sea anemone and the clownfish. I don't know which one we are.
You know very well who's the clownfish in that analogy. 888-318-7884 is the number. 888-318-7884. Oh, you've embarrassed everyone in the booth. They're all taking off their clown makeup now. They don't like it. They don't like being called out on that. We're talking about God's providence. If you want to ask a question about God's providence, whether you're Catholic or not, of course, you're welcome to call, because this is both a theological and a philosophical question. And so if you would like to know what we Catholics believe and understand about God's providence, 888-318-7884. Father, we've talked about the providence of God. It's so hard for us because we are creatures to say, well, let me think how the Creator thinks.
Yeah.
But that in God's great power, it's possible for him to both have a providential design that works out perfectly, that his will works out perfectly, but also for us to be completely free, not completely free, we're not free of the laws of nature or something like that, but mm-hmm. to be free mm-hmm. to make moral choices one way or the other and to make practical choices and all that. It's possible, I suppose, that when we think about all that, if we really want God's will to be done as we pray each day in the Our Father, we could become a little bit particular about, you know, is it God's will that I go to the supermarket right now or that I go later? Like, how do we deal with our own kind of, I suppose you could become kind of anxiously worried about.
Yeah, scrupulous or something about it, yeah.
Yeah, am I doing God's will now or not?
Yeah, so you make a good point, first of all, in pointing out the fact that we tend to attribute to God the defects of human knowledge, of human providence, of human ways of thinking about things. And of course, God's providence won't work out and it won't make any sense if God knew the way we know, or if God made choices the way we make choices, right? So the truth of the matter is, unless we understand that God's knowledge really infinitely surpasses our human mode of knowing, and God's way of making choices infinitely surpasses our human way of making choices, unless we're able to see that, we're going to start attributing to God all these limitations, which is going to make his providence either nonsensical or at the very least unjust or something like that. So that's the first thing. And then the second thing is with regard to the other question you pose, and that is this kind of scrupulosity. Am I doing God's will? That's why I say it's always important for us to distinguish between what's a commandment, what are we bound to do, and then what's a counsel, what's something good that we can do. And there's a great quote, I believe, that is attributed to Mother Teresa of Calcutta, and she has all these different things that can happen. You know, people will, you know, will misinterpret your motives when you do something. She says, do good anyway. You know, people will say this or that or do this or that. Do good anyway. Our job in this life is to do good, and we can always do that. We may not be able to do the most perfect thing at every moment. We might not even know what the most perfect thing is at every moment. You know, after all, we're very feeble, limited creatures, and God's providence even takes our weaknesses into account. So there's no need to fear. Just try your best to do good at every moment, and that's something all of us can do. And then as for the rest, we leave the rest to God to purify our motives, to perfect our actions, to bring them to, you know, a happy end. God really just wants a trusting soul. He doesn't want a soul that's frightened of his care for us, but a trusting soul that believes that a loving Father is always standing behind us with his hand on our shoulder and caring for us at every step of the way.
Again, 888-31-TRUTH, our number. We just had a caller from Nebraska who listening on Spirit Catholic Radio who didn't want to go on the air, but shared a story with us, and I want to get your kind of fit this into our way of understanding God's providence. She says, my sister and I are both labor and delivery nurses. My sister miscarried a twin and another baby. She was devastated, but by God's providence, she's there for others at the hospital who lose children. What do you make of that?
Yes. God very often allows us to undergo some evil in order so that we might be able to bring consolation and healing and care for others. That's absolutely the truth. St. Paul talks about that in the scriptures, and who of us has not had something happen to us that was difficult, painful, that we found out later, like we were the person that was really able to stand and help that other person. I've had a few instances, many instances of that in my life, where someone came to me devastated about something that had happened to them or in their family, and I was able to say, well, actually, the same thing happened to me. And it was a source of great consolation and hope, because once people can see that, oh, God brought this person through that seemingly, unsurmountable evil in their lives, and therefore I have hope that God can bring me through it too. God wants us to be instruments of his providence, and that's maybe something important that hasn't come out in any of the earlier part of the interview, and that is that God's providence includes creatures, you and I, helping other creatures, other human beings, for example, and being instruments of his providence. So that's a really beautiful thing. God doesn't leave us out of his providential care, but he includes us. And sometimes that means that he allows us to undergo some very significant sufferings precisely so that we might be a source of healing for others.
I have found, though, that when people are suffering some profound loss or some bad news, it's best not to necessarily say, guess at what God's will is, like, because it can be so hard.
Yeah.
It's best to say, it'd be better to say nothing, I think, sometimes than to say, well, God probably wants you to go through this because of this or that.
Yeah, that's also true, though. Sometimes that becomes really obvious after the fact.
Yeah.
And then you can look back and you say, yeah, that was a reason God wanted that to happen. But I remember a beautiful story told, I think it was about St. John Vianney, and there was a woman, a widow in his town, and she had three sons. And her first son went off to the war and was killed, and he went and he consoled her. And the second son was killed, and he went and he spoke to her again and consoled her. But when the third son was killed, he was so overcome with grief, and so was she. He just went there, and he sat with her. And he just shared her grief silently. He had nothing left to say. And that was the best he could do.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's all we can do, is to be with someone when they're undergoing some great trial.
Father Sebastian Walsh, may we have your blessing before we go.
Per intercessionem Beata Maria Virginis et Omnum Sanctorum, benedictio de omnipotentis, Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti, descenda super vos et maniat semper. Amen.
Amen. Father Sebastian Walsh, thank you so much. God willing, 2 hours of Open Forum right here tomorrow.